Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and join me once again in the book of Philippians. With Pastor Andy not being here this week, I wanted us to continue on in our Thrive series. It's a series that we've been working on the past few weeks through the book of Philippians, and our small groups have also been working through a study called Thrive as well. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't plugged in to our life groups here at North River Church, it's a great opportunity for you to build relationships, to go deeper in God's Word. And I want to encourage you to take that step. You can fill out your connection card and just say, hey, I want to get plugged into small groups. We'd love to get you plugged in. Let me ask you, as we get started this morning, how many of you would say, I had a pretty good week this week? Any hands? All right, keep them up. Just keep them up. Had a pretty good week this week. Those of you that did not, you look around. These are the people that we may not like this morning, right? How many of you would say, Michael, I didn't really have the best week at all this week? Listen, you can be honest in church. That's okay. How many of you would say, I had the worst week this week? Anybody? Nobody? That's why my hand is up, okay? Confession time, church. I had a terrible week this week. And it was capped off. I won't go into all the details, but it was capped off this week. Thursday, I was getting ready to leave the church office, which is right down the road here. And if you don't know, North River's got about 10 acres of land. We've got a house is where our church offices are. And we have a church member who has graciously, so we don't have to pay to mow the fields, has graciously put some cows on the property, which is amazing. It's a wonderful thing. Unless you are a pastor who was walking out into the field to pick something up and the bull notices you. So let me just tell you, as we're going to talk this morning about following Jesus with joy, I was not very joyful Thursday afternoon because I'm in the middle of the field behind the church office, and I was walking out to look at some old wood that was sitting over in the corner. And so I walk over, the cows are kind of grazing right over here, and I notice them kind of out of the corner of my eye. And I walk over, I look, no issues. I wasn't threatening them, at least I didn't think I was. And I turn around to walk back. I get about halfway back to the gate, and Mr. Bull decides he's looking for lunch. And I know they don't eat meat, but he was looking at me. I can promise you that. And so he starts charging towards me. And in that moment, church, I thought, I wonder who the next pastor of North River is going to be. I did. I promise you. I was thinking, I'm going to die on this church property right now. And so I do what any other normal person would do. What? Run. Which I think excited the bull even more. So he keeps coming, and I'm running, and I'm thinking, there's no way for me to get on the other side of the fence. And so I think, all right, I'm going to run to the corner of the fence, and I've seen it in movies. I have seen it in movies. And it's in movies only, I can promise you. So I'm running, I get to the corner, and if there's a pro football team looking for a running back, I could have been your guy that day. So I run, and I jump to hit the crossbar that goes into the post. So I hit it with this foot. There was one problem. It was rotten. And so I have a gash running all the way up my leg right here from the barbed wire just digging into me. But church, I got up on top of the post in the corner of the field. And I'm standing up there looking at the bull who's about this far from me. And I did try to kick him in the face, I'll be honest. Right? tried to kick him. I didn't quite get there. And so I thought, I survived. I made it through. What do I do now? I know where to go. So I called the guy that owns the cows, Will Carlton, who is not here this morning. Not really sure why. And he didn't answer the phone. So I hopped down on our neighbor's property and walked around, and I started thinking, you know, if we allow our circumstances and the bad things that happen to us, maybe throughout the week, for us as Christians to define reality for us, we will never experience the joy that is meant for us to experience in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you may have come in this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus. You're just kind of checking things out. You're wondering, hey, what's this church about and what are they going to teach and what's going on with that? Here's what I would want to say to you if you've never taken that step of trusting in Jesus for salvation. I believe that this passage in Philippians chapter 2 is one of the most clear pictures of who Jesus is and what he's done. And so I want you to pay attention as we start to talk about who Jesus is and what he's done. I want you to pay attention to that and ask God this morning to speak to your heart. Maybe today the step for you to take is to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you have taken that step. You have trusted in Jesus for salvation, but let's just be honest. Have you ever met a lot of church folks that look like they just sucked on a lemon? Amen or ouch, right? But church, it should not be that way for us who have trusted in Jesus for salvation. We of all people should be walking through life with unbelievable, indescribable, incredible joy that we experience through Jesus and what he's accomplished in us. And so as we read Philippians chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 11, and we're going to talk about following Christ with joy this morning. This is what Paul writes, beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we ask this morning as we open your word that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our minds and our hearts that we would be ready to respond to your Spirit this morning as he speaks to us through your word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget where we are in this series. Paul has been writing from prison. Paul's not sure if he's going to live or not. And he has a heart for this group of believers in Philippi that he had invested in, and they in turn had invested in his ministry. And his heartbeat is for them to continue pursuing Christ the way that they have. It's interesting, we don't see a lot of Paul calling this church out for issues that were going on in the church. He does that in some of his other letters to other churches. But, I mean, by and large, in Philippians, we see Paul praising the heartbeat that this group of believers has for Jesus. He's encouraging them, continue on in what you've been doing. Continue to pursue Christ. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to impact and transform the community in which you find yourselves. And Paul here is going to reiterate that once again. He says in verse 1, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Listen to verse 2. Paul says, complete my joy. You got to imagine that Paul in this moment, as many of us will experience in our last days, are looking and wondering whether or not what we've invested our lives in is going to continue past today. If you're not thinking about that this morning, let me challenge you in that. For us as believers, we should be thinking about what impact we're going to make today in this community, in our kids' lives, in the life of our coworkers, that is going to last beyond just our life. And Paul here, to these believers that he loves dearly, says to them, complete my joy. I've invested all of myself into you, and I have been praying for you, and I have been thinking about you, and I want you to complete my joy. I want you to fulfill what I have begun in terms of what God's done in your life. Paul says, I've participated in that, and I want to see it continue. Complete my joy. I want you to notice what he says for them to do. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. If you're taking notes this morning, here's what I want you to write down, and this is what's going to frame the rest of our time together in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 this morning. This is what you can write down. We can follow Jesus with joy when we are willing to serve, sacrifice, and glorify. We can follow Jesus with joy when we are willing to serve, when we are willing to sacrifice, and when we are willing to glorify. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now, Paul emphasizes three things there in verse 2. Now, here's what I love about what Paul's about to do. He doesn't want us to miss what he's about to say. And so, like any good preacher, he says it again. You can go back and listen to messages. That's what I do a lot. Because here's what I know. Sometimes you just check out. Can we just be honest? Some of you are like, I'm sorry, I just checked in. What did you say? But there's moments where your mind begins to wonder. There's moments where you're thinking, I wonder what we're going to eat for lunch today. There's moments when you look at the person beside you and say, do you smell that? I smell something. There's moments where you just get distracted. And so for the Philippians here, Paul is going to lay it out, not once, not twice, but three times. Like any good pastor, 3 points, right? My pastor growing up said that, Michael, when you start preaching, I preached my first sermon when I was 14 years old. He said, Michael, here's what you need to do. You need to tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. That's what Paul's going to do here. So what Paul wants us to understand and recognize, he begins in verse 2, complete my joy by, number 1, being of the same mind. Number 2, having the same love. Number 3, being in full accord and of one mind. He begins to explain it in verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Now just stop for a moment, church, and ask yourself, is that not what our culture is wrapped up in? And that's pretty much what our culture says to do. Do everything from rivalry or conceit. You want to be better than the person beside you. You want to take advantage of whoever you can take advantage of. You need to be about you. But Paul here says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I'm convinced, church, that if we just put that into practice, as God's people spread around this globe, if we put that verse, verse 3, into practice, I think it would transform this world that we live in. In fact, verse 3 is reminding us that our responsibility as believers is to serve. We're going to see that detailed out even more as Paul continues on working through the text this morning. But do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. He continues on in verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So Paul says, don't do anything from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Be willing to serve. But then he says here, not only be willing to serve, but look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Be willing to serve. Be willing to sacrifice. And then he says in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Does anybody else just feel incredibly non-prepared for that? In reality, for all of us, we've talked about this before, that our desire should be to look more like Jesus tomorrow than we do today. That we look more like Jesus this time next year than we do today. And that's what Paul is emphasizing there. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Isn't that daunting? Well, what is the mind of Christ? What was Christ focused on? Well, Paul's given us a glimpse of it. He was here to serve. He was here to lay his life down and sacrifice. And his primary mindset in all of this was to glorify his Father who is in heaven. And so as we think about what does it mean for us to live a life that is full of joy, available only through Christ, it's going to be for us to imitate Christ in our lives. Well, what did Christ do? Christ served, he sacrificed, and he glorified his Father who is in heaven. Don't believe me? Let's keep reading. Verse 6. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. We talk about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, and If you're not a believer this morning, this is maybe where you need to clue back in so that you can see exactly why we gather together and worship this morning, because of who Jesus is and what he's done. Paul here says, have the same mind that's available in Christ. And he says, Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, and he took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now we know, as we read through the scriptures, that God exists in a trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all fully God. We worship one God in three persons. And here, what Paul is emphasizing is Jesus being one of the persons in the Godhood, being fully God, had every single right to say, I don't want to give any of that up or lay any of that aside for this moment. And Jesus didn't cease to be God. That's not what we're saying. But he did lay aside all the privileges and rights that were experienced in heaven at this moment. And so here what he's saying is that he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now think about that. If you go back to verse 3 when we talked about serving, notice the first part of verse 3, do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Well, we see Jesus demonstrate that perfectly. That's what Paul wants us to realize and to understand, that Christ is our example. Christ is who we look at to see what this looks like lived out. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself what? Nothing. The Son of God made himself nothing. He had every right to come as a conquering king, and he came as a baby in a manger. He had every right to set up all rule and all authority in the very moment that his foot hit planet Earth, but instead he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to lay my life down as a ransom for many. On the cross, he could have said, no, I'm not doing this. But in the garden, when he's praying to his Father and he says, Father, can this cup pass from me? But not my will, but your will be done. When he's wrongfully accused and when he's beaten and when he's spat at and when his clothes are ripped off of him and when he's carrying his cross to Golgotha, when he's put up between two thieves, he didn't deserve to be there. But he made himself nothing. See, the truth is this morning, if Jesus didn't make himself nothing, we have nothing with which to invest our lives. And yet he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Let me ask you this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus and maybe you wonder, what does it look like to experience joy in the Christian life? Maybe you say, I'm not experiencing the kind of joy that I really thought I'd be experiencing in my life at this point as a believer. Maybe you've been a believer just a short amount of time. Maybe you've been a believer for a number of years. See, I'm just not experiencing that joy that I thought I would experience. Let me just ask a simple question. Do you come to North River Church to be served, or do you come to serve? Are you coming to get something out of it for yourself, or are you coming in with the mindset that God has gifted me in such a way that I'm coming into this body of believers and I am willing to serve? Just think for a moment, if Jesus had said, I'm not interested in serving, we'd be in a world of hurt today, church. But it says Jesus made himself nothing, and he took the form of a servant. And if we want to experience the joy of following Jesus the way that he intends for us to experience it, we're going to have to be a people who are willing to serve, who are willing to be nothing, who are willing to take on the form of a servant, willing to lay ourselves down for others. See, one of the greatest things that we can do as a body of believers, both individually and corporately, one of the greatest things that we can do is to serve others. So let me just ask this week, have you served anyone? Say, I don't know. You ready for the good news? You can start today serving others. And I can promise you this, when you begin to serve others, when you begin to think of others as more important than yourself, when you think of yourself as literally nothing, not that you don't have any worth, not that Christ didn't die for you because you're valuable and you're important because you're made in the image of God and Jesus laid his life down for you. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is when you approach life with the mindset of instead of trying to be served every single place I go, how can I serve someone else? You ready for one easy example? Is it anyone else's pet peeve to walk in to the Publix supermarket and see carts stuck in the middle of the curbs? Anybody else feel that? If you leave them there, that's not good, people. Push the cart back where it's supposed to go. Some of you are like, did you see me? I did that yesterday. But you know a simple thing that you can do as you see the people traipse out and they're trying to load all the carts up? Do you know what's easy for them to do? Not to have to make 47 stops to grab a cart. And so if you're walking up and you go, there's a cart in the middle of the walkway. Why don't I just grab it and push it up into the store? People will look at you like you're crazy. Why? No one does that. Just a simple way of serving someone. Simple way of living our lives with a larger focus than just ourselves and what we can get out of life. Jesus made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Notice verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Paul says, not only did Jesus come to serve, he came to serve in such a way that he laid his life down as a sacrifice. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Scriptures in the Old Testament say, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus took upon himself our sins. He was perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, lived on this earth a sinless life. And yet he took your sin and he took my sin on himself and he laid his life down on the cross for us in obedience to his heavenly Father. And he paid our debt of sin. He didn't stay there and stay dead. He rose from the grave, securing for us the potential to have salvation through him. So if you're not a believer this morning, I want you to clue into that and to recognize not only did Jesus come to serve other people. And here's the funny thing. People like talking about that. Even people that don't know Jesus like talking about Jesus being a servant. He's a good teacher and he was a servant. And yet they miss the most important thing. He was willing as a servant to lay down his life to save us from our sin. And if you're here this morning, maybe for you, that's the realization that my faith and trust can't be on what I can accomplish. It must be on what Jesus has accomplished for me. Became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, church, if we want to experience joy, we've got to be willing to serve, but we've also got to be willing to sacrifice. What does that look like in your life? We talked a little bit about what serving others may look like. Maybe it looks like volunteering to help out in our kids' ministry. Maybe it means volunteering to help set up and tear down week in and week out. Maybe it looks like any number of things. That's what serving looks like for you. But what does sacrifice look like? If we're going to experience the joy that we're intended to have as believers, not only are we going to be serving, but we're also going to be sacrificing. Sacrificing means doing what you don't want to do. It means setting yourself aside for a period of time and doing something that may be incredibly uncomfortable or maybe something that you don't even really want to do, but you're willing to do it. What does that look like for you? Maybe you think, Michael, there's no way in the world that I'm going to deal with crying babies. And yet for you, God may be saying, you know what? Maybe sacrifice for you looks like being back in our nursery and caring for these little ones so that moms and dads can be in here and be part of a service. Maybe it looks like sacrificing some of your income in support of what God's doing here at North River Church. We said it back when we were talking about giving earlier in the service, and we said the truth is that everything that we have, everything that we make, everything that we own is ultimately God's. And God has simply entrusted it to us to be managed for His glory. And maybe for you, sacrifice needs to be, I need to put a governor on my lifestyle so that I can give more to support God's work here and around the globe. Maybe that's what God is impressing on you that sacrifice looks like. Maybe it looks like, as we talked about last week, walking across the street and having a conversation with your neighbor. It means turning the TV off and spending time with your kids. Whatever sacrifice may look like for you, we have in the Scriptures the greatest picture of sacrifice that has ever been seen in all the world. Jesus laying His life down for us. And church, there's no greater sacrifice that we personally can give to match what Christ has done for us. And yet, if we're going to experience the joy that Paul talks about here in following Jesus, sacrifice needs to be a part of our lives. Paul continues on and he says in verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted Him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. And if you're watching the news and you need some encouragement as a Christian, verse 10 and verse 11 may be what you need to be reminded of this morning. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Say, Michael, we live in a crazy world. We absolutely do. But listen, church, we know where it's going. We know how the story ends. We know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter what may happen. It doesn't matter what bad thing may happen in our world. It doesn't matter if there's a nuclear holocaust. It doesn't matter if the government's shut down. It doesn't matter. None of those things in the grand scheme of life matter when we read verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Which brings me back, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, can I just remind you of what Paul would say to you this morning, that there will be a day, regardless of what you may feel now, there will be a day that will come when every single knee will bow and every single tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The great privilege that you have this morning, the great privilege that we have until Christ returns, is that we can make the choice to do that now on this side and experience the joy of a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the truth is, Jesus came to serve, He came to sacrifice, He came, as we see, to glorify His Father who is in heaven. You notice the last part of the verse there in verse 11, to the glory of God the Father. Everything that Jesus' life on this earth was about was bringing glory to His Father in heaven. Which reminds us as believers that if we want to experience true joy in living out the Christian life, not only are we going to serve and not only are we going to sacrifice, but we're going to so orient our lives and what we do and what we say around bringing glory, not to ourselves, but to our Heavenly Father. Maybe for you this morning, you're not experiencing the joy that we've talked about because, in all reality, you are king of your own life. Your primary concern is yourself. Your primary focus is on what you can get out of life, and your primary motive is so that you will be lifted up. And the reality is that God doesn't share His glory. None of us are worthy of the glory that only He is deserving of. And if we're going to experience the joy that we're meant to have, if we're going to emulate Jesus in our lives, we will be focused on bringing God glory with our lives. So what needs for you, church, to be reoriented in your life so that your focus, your aim, your mission in life is to bring glory to God? Father, we ask that Your Spirit this morning would prick our hearts. Father, that You would show us what it means to experience joy in our Christian life. Father, that You would remind us that true joy as a Christian is wrapped up not in our circumstances, but it's wrapped up in our willingness to be more and more like Jesus. To be willing to serve, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to glorify you. Father, if there's one here this morning that hasn't taken the step of trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, I can think of no better time than now. Father, they've clearly heard who Jesus is and what he's done. They've seen this morning that he made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant. That he laid his life down. And that you raised him up from the grave and gave him the name above every name. Father, would you help them today to bow their knee, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and receive the salvation that you so freely offer. Father, would you help us as your church, as your body of believers here at North River, that we would be reminded that you've called us to serve, you've called us to sacrifice, you've called us to glorify. May we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand and you sing this morning, you respond to the Lord.